Let me invite you to open up a Bible with me to Joshua, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 7, this morning as we continue our trek in this portion of the Bible, Joshua chapter 7. We've been journeying through the book of Joshua, and today we come to chapter 7. We're right on the heels of the Battle of Jericho, marching around that city. The walls come tumbling down, and so things are going well for God's people as they've entered into the promised land, the land of Canaan. Joshua chapter 7. Let me go ahead and invite all who are able. Would you join me standing for the reading of God's word? I'll read the first 13 verses of chapter 7 this morning. In fact, I'm going to go back up and read the last verse of chapter 6, and it reads this way. It says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land." Chapter 7. "But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven to the east of Bethel, and told them, 'Go up and spy out the region.' So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, 'Not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there.' So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?' The Lord said to Joshua, 'Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them.'" Would you bow with me? Father, we pray that you would guide us now in understanding this portion of your word, that we might know and follow you and rest in your grace. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Things are going well for God's people until now. Right, they're finally in the land that's flowing with milk and honey, this good land. God has stopped the flow of the Jordan River during flood stage so that his people could easily cross over. They just renewed their commitment to the Lord by catching up on the sign of that covenant, the sign of circumcision, and remembering their deliverance from death as they celebrated the Passover. And then they followed God's instructions, his commands, to a T, marching around Jericho for 7 days, shouting on the seventh day to see the walls come tumbling down, not one stone left on another, except for Rahab's home, where she and all her family are spared because of her faith in God. So the first battle's over. Israel won, Canaan zero. The conquest thus far has been no contest. The Lord's with them, just as He promised. And when the Lord fights your battles, you win. Confidence is soaring. I had a conversation this past week with one of my kids, one of my boys. I was trying to talk to one of my boys about, hey, let's make an effort to eat a little more healthy. Let's eat some things that are good for us. Let's eat some fruits and vegetables occasionally. We need these. These things make us smarter. They help us think better. They make us stronger. It's good for the body. It's good for the mind. To which he quickly responded, Daddy, I'm already fast enough. If I'm any faster, I'll go into overload and I won't be able to learn. Let you guess which one of my boys said such. Overconfident. Right? The people here, they're overconfident. They're winning until the account is sharply interrupted with that small three-letter contrasting conjunction. But, verse 1. End of chapter 6, the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. What devoted things? Well, God had told his people, he said, destroy Jericho. Do not take any plunder here. It's all to be destroyed as a sign of my judgment upon the wicked. The precious metals, the gold, the silver, the bronze, these are to go into my treasury, the Lord said. They're to be used to supply the tabernacle. But Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. What did he take? A beautiful robe, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, verse 21. That may not sound like much to you and to me, but this was as much as a typical worker earned in a lifetime. I think hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's economy. I mean, can't you picture Achan, an Israelite warrior, coming from Jericho back to camp with his bag a little fuller than he left, sneaking into camp and sliding into the family tent in Gilgal and saying, honey, come here. You gotta see this. Look at this. We're gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be fine. We're fine. I know we've been wandering around for a little while, but we're going to get a place of our own. Everything's going to be okay. The kids' college funds that we've been worried about, they're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're all set. These other folks, I don't know how they're going to make it, but we're going to make it. Everything's fine. What have you done? Shh. It's okay. She looks around and says, everything's fine. They start to move things around in the tent. Moving the beds so they can hide the goods before anyone else happens to notice. Friends, sin is radioactive. Sin is radioactive. You can't contain it. Like untreated cancer, it grows and it spreads in places that you never intended it to go. The Lord says to a defeated Joshua, they've taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They've put them with their own possessions. Verse 11. Bam, bam, bam. What began as desire, the desire for security, has become direct disobedience, spiritual thievery, lies, and cover-ups. And if left alone, sin's poison will only spread out from there. See, like the folks of Malachi's day, this man was robbing God. The Lord's possessions were treated as his very own, and the Lord's now holding Joshua and all Israel responsible for this secret sin in the camp. But the Israelites were unfaithful, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Sin is radioactive, meaning it spreads. And its presence, left unaddressed, contaminates the company in which it is kept. Now, we're not told anything here about Mrs. Achan. We're not told about Achan's wife. We just sort of have to speculate, maybe read between the lines a bit. But the Bible does tell us about another man and his wife. First man and his wife, Adam and Eve, and how their susceptibility to sin individually didn't help their collective resistance to its lure. You might say the same about a New Testament couple that closely resembles this account, Ananias and Sapphira. We can read about their dreadful disobedience and subsequent death, Acts chapter 5. This is why God's so specific about ridding the promised land of those who practiced idolatry, who were devoted to false gods, for their pagan practices would lure, and they did, the people to drift from allegiance to Him. God had warned them. He had clearly warned them. Chapter 6, verse 8, but keep away from the devoted things. You go into Jericho. This is the way it's going to happen. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. The warning is there. And Achan knew it. He knew, without a doubt, he knew that he was deliberately disobeying God's command, or else he wouldn't have hidden it, right? He knew this would dishonor God. And he did it anyway. How often do we act in the same manner? Knowing that saying such, that doing such, that searching such, dishonors the one who made us, and yet even so, dishonoring Him. One of our staff members got an email this week from Pastor Chris Jones, asking for a little confidential meeting about a private nature. I needed some help with something. But if you looked a little further, it wasn't actually from me, right? It had my name. Somebody had superimposed my name on an email address that wasn't mine. And this happens quite frequently. So if you get an email like that from me, beware. Check it out. Don't assume it's legit. Somebody's trying to scam somebody. In fact, I heard on the radio this week that scams are on the rise. With global conflict going on, that there are some that are trying to scam folks and say that your financial assets are in trouble because foreign entities and foreign governments are trying to access those, and you need to immediately move those into these other accounts. Someone is scamming folks professionally in the name of others that are scamming folks, right? Here's Achan attempting to scam God. To scam God out of what is God? He's trying to scam God, and you can't scam God because sin is never private. It's never private. Hear the Lord's warning elsewhere in His Word. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Be sure, God says, be sure your sin will find you out. God says, you can be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. How can we hide from the Lord what He already knows? Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, You know it completely. David thinks about that. Psalm 139, verse 8. Where can I go? I need to get away from this. It's too invasive. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? Nowhere. He's already there. He already knows. And so the only right course of action when we realize our sin is to confess it to God. Acknowledge it. Own it before Him. Acknowledge it before the one whom we've wronged. Then I acknowledged my sin to You and did not cover up my iniquity. This is David's prayer. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge it. Confess it. I'm going to own it to You, God. I'm going to acknowledge it to You. I'm not going to cover it up. And get this, and You forgave the guilt of my sin. You see, being guilty before God's a big deal because God's a big deal. And even so, God forgives sinners who turn to Him. As far as the east is from the west, right? So far has He removed our transgressions from us. From whom? From those who repent. From all who repent, those who turn from their sin and take it to our compassionate God. You see, there is a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow that brings repentance and that leads to salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. But this, in Joshua chapter 7, this is not it. Joshua, the Lord says, tell the people, someone sinned against me, so consecrate yourselves tonight. Tell all the people, get ready, wash up, seek the Lord, for tomorrow the Lord will show us the one contaminating the camp, and he must die. Honey, I got this. There's no way they're going to find out. There's no way they're going to catch on to this. How can they know? Early the next morning, verse 16, Joshua led the process of separating the people by tribes and clans and families, persons, and the tribe is named Judah! All the other tribes. Whew. Breathe a sigh of relief. The Zerahites! That's getting personal. Zimri! And then each man from Zimri's family comes forward and the man is named Achan! And it's then and only then that the confession comes. I did it. It's true. But still no repentance. No godly sorrow. Simply discovery. Sort of like Judas Iscariot, we might say. Jesus' day. Or perhaps like a criminal today who pleads not guilty, only to be found guilty by the jury before then confessing his crime. It's too late. His heart was hard. He hid his sin. Because God's covenant was with his collective people, the whole camp suffered on account of this man's sin. Church, we live in a different era. We live in a different era of salvation history. We live on the other side, this side of the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming, the living, the dying, the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not called to stone the sinner. But as members of a local body, a local church of believers, we are called to deal with unrepentant sin in the church, calling sin, sin. And even, at times, disfellowshipping with a man or woman who claims to be one of Christ's people, but refuses to show any interest in living like one of Christ's people. Sin is serious. It's radioactive. It's never private. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You see, just a few tents over, no doubt, there's a family grieving. In fact, we're told there's 36 of them. Many of them, we dare say, husbands and fathers who started their day saying, "Honey, don't worry. It's just a small little town. In fact, they're not even sending all of us. It's going to be a piece of cake. It's going to be an easy one. In fact, wait up for me tonight. I may even be home by dinner." And then he wasn't. They weren't. Bloodshed now on Achan's hands, and it doesn't stop there. "Daddy, what have you done? What have you brought on us? You said it would be okay. You said you got this. You said don't worry about this." Friends, there's no hiding our sin. Maybe from those around us, but not from the one who made us. You can be sure your sin will find you out. And the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This time that three letter word, B-U-T, but, is a welcome addition, right? Declaring hope for sinners, a gift of grace from God Himself. In fact, the gift, friends, is God Himself. He is what we need. The gift of God is forever with Him. The gift of God is forever with Him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is forever with Him. In fact, in this whole pericope, Joshua seems to momentarily forget the significance of God Himself. Right, of depending on God alone for victory. There's no mention in this text until they're in trouble. There's no mention of consulting God before sending troops to Ai. Have you ever left God out of a big decision? No, I have. Ever considered that move? Ever considered that marriage? Ever considered retirement? Ever considered X, Y, or Z without ever consulting God? All right, if only Joshua would have consulted God before going to battle, he would have been warned. The Lord could have told him he wasn't going with him. Not yet. Chapter 7, verse 12. I will not be with you anymore, God says, unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. You see, the unrepentant lose his presence. The whole conquest is dependent on God's presence going with his people. The God who had said to Moses, I will be with you. And the God who had said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And the God who had said to his people, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Friends, God desires to be in relationship with us. He created us, and he knows us, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he desires us to know him, and to come before him. With repentance and faith, he desires us to rest in being his children, sinners who simply come to him. He calls all who turn to him in faith his very own people. That's what he calls us. His children, fellow citizens in his kingdom, his eternal kingdom, members of his household, a dwelling place for his own spirit. That's what he says about sinners who simply come to him in faith. What a privilege to be in relationship with the eternal and righteous God, to be known by him, to be welcomed before him by the blood of the Lamb that cleanses and covers us from our sin, to come before him confidently day after day after day into his presence, into the most holy place, knowing that he hears us and that he cares for us and that he loves us. May we never forget it. The gift of God is forever with him. Church, this is good news. News that sinners who repent, turning to Christ, receive restoration with God. Sinners, every one of them, just as we heard the choir sing this morning, everyone, every sinner who repents and turns to Christ receives restoration with God. Are you right with God? This text beckons us. This book, the Bible, calls us to examine our own hearts before God. Are you right with God? Have you been reconciled to God? What are you hiding under your tent that he's calling you to confess to him? What sin are you attempting to conceal? He already sees it. And he sent his son, his one and only son, to pay for it. And he's waiting on you to simply confess it. Isn't that what the word says? 1 John chapter 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We claim to be without sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is. God is faithful, and He is just, and He will forgive us our sins. We serve a forgiving God. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Friend, I don't know about you. Know how it is for you, but I know there are plenty of times that I'm tempted to bury sin in my tent and believe that Jesus either doesn't notice or He doesn't care. And He'll continue to use me and to be with me, that it doesn't defile those around me or stand in the way of my relationship with Him. Friends, Achan's life tells a different story. Fuller story. A reminder that the King of Heaven is a just God who ultimately judges the guilty. And yet, and don't forget the and yet who has abundant mercy on those who simply turn to Him in faith. So admit to God you're a sinner and repent. What should we do with this? Truth, we should admit to God that we're sinners. Just as we teach our children to do in Vacation Bible School. Admit to God that you're a sinner and repent. Achan acknowledged his sin, but he did not repent. He ran. He ran from conviction. Don't run from conviction. Let's learn to welcome conviction as a sign of the Father's love for us. Welcome conviction. Have you owned your sin before God? He already knows. Admit to God you're a sinner and repent and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. The Son of God sent to save you. You see, there was another man from the tribe of Judah declared guilty and taken outside of camp like Achan and killed, crucified. But church, this was no mere man, nor was he crushed for his own sin. No, this was the God-man, fully God and fully man, taking the sin of the world upon himself, taking your sin and my sin upon himself, that sinners in the world might receive his very righteousness. The word says it this way, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that who might become righteous? So that we might become righteous by faith. By faith and faith alone in Him. You want to be found righteous? Confess your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Confess your faith. Admit to God you're a sinner and repent. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and confess your faith in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. What a beautiful testimony we saw last week. Two boys being baptized and asked there, in the baptistry, hey, what is your confession? Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Well, friend, confess your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord and be saved. That's what the Word teaches. Be saved, spared divine judgment and forever reconciled to God. Sinners who repent, turning to Christ, receive restoration with God. So confess your faith in Christ today. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And get this, the scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. That is, never face the humiliation of separation with God on judgment day. Anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Because they'll be clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you're reconciled to God because your faith is in the Lamb of God who paid the price of your salvation. But if not, today is the day of salvation. Turn and trust in Jesus Christ. And be forgiven, as the Word says, all of your sins, never to be held against you. Welcomed into the family of God, awaiting eternity in the presence of God. Be reconciled to God today. And perhaps for others, maybe you are reconciled to God today. Maybe your faith is in Him, but you've been hiding sin in the tent, and it needs to be confessed to God. Your fellowship with God is suffering because you've not recognized His kindness and His patience and run into His presence, owning your sin, knowing that He desires to forgive you. If that is you, confess your sin before Him today and be restored to an intimate fellowship with the One who saved you. As David comes and leads us in a time of response, encourage each of us to turn our hearts to the Lord, to respond as He leads, to lay our lives, our hearts, ourselves, our sin before Him, trusting in Christ's provision and celebrating His love as we express our faith in Him. Father, help us to do so even now. As we stand, as we sing, as we respond, may we praise You. May we trust You. May we cling to the cross. And Lord, may we see ourselves as You see us, that we might forever be Yours. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.